Now, joining us from a secret location somewhere in Manhattan is our next guest, Blythe Danner. Now, if you don't know, Blythe was born in Philadelphia. Her father was a bank executive, and she sort of enjoyed a prep school education and upbringing. Undergraduate work at Bard College in New York, a very prestigious college. Ms. Danner has a BA in drama, as well as an honorary degree in fine arts from Bard's, Williams College, and Hobart Smith Colleges. Some very prestigious names there. She's a triple threat. She's won a Tony Award for her Broadway debut in Butterflies Are Free, which is just a wonderful story, and a Tony nomination as Blanche in A Streetcar Named Desire. She's frequently cast against fellow actor Ken Howard, most notably in the short-lived 1973 TV sitcom Adam's Rib, which many fans assumed that the two of you were married, which is not the case, but you guys just had such a great chemistry online there. It was great. Your longtime husband, in fact, was Bruce Paltrow, who was a very famous executive producer in his own right. You two were married in 1970. You have a couple of children. And now grandchildren as well. So that's great. Congratulations. Welcome to the show, Blythe Danner. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well, and I don't mean to sound a piggy, but I did win two Emmys, too.
Oh, well, then let's not shortchange you on the Emmys. Congratulations. Oh, what did you win the Emmys for?
I've got to take everything I can get, right?
Well, no, you deserve all the honors that we give to you, and forgive me for not bringing in. What did you earn your Emmys for?
For a show that was on just 2 years with Hank Azaria and Oliver Platt, and it was called Huff on Showtime. It didn't, unfortunately, last very long.
Ah, but Oliver Platt, Hank Azaria, two very wonderful people. And I want to come back and talk a little bit about the different folks that you have worked with in time. But let's go back to the beginning, if we can, Blythe. And I can very easily picture you as being born in Philadelphia, being on the main line there. You know, your father's a banker, your mom's probably a wonderful housewife and that sort of thing. And that was back in the days when it was very conservative in Philadelphia. How did your family feel about you getting into acting?
You know, it's funny. I think that they were fine about it because my mother was a beautiful singer and wanted to be an actress, I think. And Dad also had a beautiful voice. That's how they met, singing at the Oratorio Society, Choral Arts Society, rather, in Philadelphia.
Ah.
And Dad was known as the singing banker. So I think they were fine about it. They thought, oh, you know, she'll probably get married and she can do that on the side. But politically, we were really at two ends of the spectrum, I guess. I went to Quaker schools in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
sort of had a liberal political training, and they were, you know, staunch Republicans. So if we had any disagreements, they were usually over good feisty political debates.
So there were dinner table conversations. You took different sides of the issues and debated them there, but they had no problems with your getting into acting at all.
No, they were very supportive, actually.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Now, what led you into acting? I mean, what was the draw for you?
You know, I think also it was Mom and Dad, who were always starring in the PTA shows. You know, they do the Nelson, Jeanette McDonald, Sweethearts, and
sure,
all of those things. Dad always had to read his lyrics off his cuff of his shirt. I have the same problem remembering lines. But I think seeing them, and then at George School, which is the school I went to in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, we had a wonderful drama coach, and we also had wonderful drama at Bard. So I don't know, I just always... Originally, I thought I wanted to be a nurse, but every time we played any kind of shows in the backyard, I was always a nurse. But the reality was I wasn't good at math or the sight of blood, so that was the end of that.
And that was the end of your nursing career right there. And so nursing's loss was everybody else's gain because you went into acting.
Thank you.
Oh, that is great. Now, like I said at the outset, you're a triple threat, Broadway, movies, and television. We would like you to pull back the curtain a little bit and tell us about the different requirements of acting on stage versus for television versus for movies. And which do you like best? What makes them different? Which do you like best?
I used to only like the stage because that's how I began. And the physical freedom on stage was something I thought I really couldn't live without. And it took me a long time to adjust to being in front of the camera. I was self-conscious and I just didn't feel comfortable. I think also just because, you know, you're so limited with your movement for the most part. you know, for close-ups and shots, you have to be still and you have to stand on your spot. And I was kind of frisky and not very disciplined physically that way. So it took me a while. But now I have to say I feel comfortable with both.
With all three. Okay.
I haven't been on, camera and stage.
Mm.
I haven't done much stage work in the last, I haven't done any in the last 5 years. I'm sort of longing to get back on the boards, as they say.
Oh, well, good for you. So it's amazing that you would be self-conscious about the camera, because the camera is very, very kind to you. So
not always.
Not well.
Depends on the lighting and depends on, you know, well, we won't go into detail.
All right.
But I don't understand.
You have done just some incredible movies. Let me just read off a partial list of the movies that you've been in. The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2, Meet the Fockers, Sylvia, Meet the Parents, The Love Letter, Forces of Nature, The Farmhouse, The X-Files, which is a little surprise for me, To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, Prince of Tides, with Barbara Streisand was a director there, Mr. and Mrs. Bridges, Another Woman, Brighton Beach Memoirs, The Great Santini, Loving Molly, and 1776. I probably personally remember you first seeing you in The Great Santini as the wife, the military wife of Robert Duvall. That's what got me interested in your career, but interestingly enough, you did Loving Molly, which was an adaptation of a Larry McMurtry movie. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, I had just given birth to my daughter when I did that. My husband said, oh, you shouldn't. You just gave birth. I said, honey, he hadn't gotten started yet in his end of the business, which mm-hmm. was really brought us our greatest comfort down the road. But he said, no, just your dress. I said, no, I've got to do this. It's a great opportunity. Actually, it's a kind of odd story that I kept trying to talk Sydney out of not casting me because I was very pregnant. And I said, you know, I'm really not an earth mother, Sydney. I think if you just think I am because I'm so pregnant. And I think that made him even want me more, the fact that I was trying to get out of it, so, which is sort of an odd thing that sometimes happens in our business. So I said... I finally said yes, but it was very difficult because Gwyneth was just born, and I insisted on nursing her.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had it in the contract that I would nurse her on demand, but who knew she wanted to nurse every 2 hours?
Those babies, they're just so regular in their schedule.
Yeah, so I wasn't too popular on that set, but it was a good experience. It was just rather fraught with, you know, a bit of stress.
Well, let's talk about that, because I think one of the more remarkable parts of your career is the balancing act that you've had between acting and motherhood and everything else. And by the way, everybody, we're talking to Gwyneth Paltrow's mom, Blythe Danner.
That's my claim to fame.
No, it's not at all your claim to fame.
Me.
Yeah. But Blythe, I mean, that has been really one of the more remarkable things about your career, is that balancing act between the children and acting and everything else. Tell us about that from your perspective. That couldn't have been easy to do.
You know, I really pulled back after Gwyneth was born, and then after Jake was born, I pulled back even more because I didn't want to be away. And Bruce and I would kind of trade off. When he was working, I would be there, and if I wasn't, if, you know, we would just reverse the roles. When he was a great mom/dad, he was just incredible.
Mm.
But it was funny. I mean, originally, when I did have some time to get off and do something, a lot of times it wasn't something terribly good. You know, I'd say, oh, I'd like to get another couch, or I need a new car. I would take what was available, or some of those things I'd like to burn the celluloid, you know.
Oh.
But for the most part, I was pretty fortunate to do some nice things and with an erratic career, really. I mean, I wasn't following through on any career plan, that's for sure.
Well, but I think you're an inspiration to mothers out there that are balancing that career and the family thing as well. So I'm, you know, commend you for that. We're talking to Blythe Danner, everybody, on Billy the Brain, Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We've got to stop and pay some bills here, Blythe. Will you come back for another session?
Of course I will.
All right, great. We'll do the traffic and the weather. traffic and weather. We don't have a sponsor yet, so they're not brought to you by anybody. But the weather is going to be beautiful today. We have the usual June gloom that is in, and it'll be here until about 11 or 12 o'clock, depending on where you are in the county. Burns off a little bit closer. It burns off a little bit earlier if you are inland. Burning off, and the temperatures are going to be 70s along the coast, moving into the mid-80s if you go farther inland. Tonight, we're going to have the fog rolling in, and of course, the gloom. It'll be down into about 50-degree range, and inland, it'll be in the low 50s. Tomorrow, we have another beautiful day on tap. It's going to be sunny after the June gloom burns off, and if you have fair skin like Billy the Brain does, be sure to put on plenty of sunscreen because the UV index is going to be a 10. That's the weather, and now for the traffic.
And the traffic's looking very nice, except for a couple of points, and let's talk about Lynn Road southbound 101. People getting off to go to the Oaks, I assume, dropping all the way down to 25 miles per hour. No reports of an accident there. 23 TO to Simi Valley out to Fillmore through Grimes, looking very nice. One little traffic hazard for you. Center divider 126 East just before Briggs Road up to Santa Barbara. The 101 looking good. And back down to Ventura, very nice. That's the traffic on AM 1400 KKZZ.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. And our special guest for this half hour is Ms. Blythe Danner. Before we get back to Ms. Danner, however, we do have some pizzas to give away. Today we have a family meal from Red Brick Pizza at 4990 Telephone Road here in Ventura. And the family meal consists of a large fire-roasted gourmet pizza, full fresh chopped salad, Italian breadsticks with Parmesan cheese, and a large gelato. We'll give that away to the second caller at 639-0008, 639-0008. If you want a family fun meal from Red Brick Pizza, give us a call, 639-0008. Now, back to you. Blythe, it's just a delight to have you on the show. I'm thrilled to have you here.
Well,
you are
happy to be talking all the way across country.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time, of course, when that was really a cool thing. Now we take it sort of for granted, don't we?
I guess so, yes.
Yeah, it's a sign of the times. But one thing I don't take for granted is you've had just a tremendous career, both on the stage in film and on television as well. One of the roles that I'm most interested in is that you were in the Philadelphia Story on Broadway, which everybody has seen the movie. Everybody knows that that was a Katharine Hepburn role. How hard was it for you to reprise Katharine Hepburn's role?
Oh, well, you know, it's so many times I have been asked that, and I said one of the hardest things was trying not to copy. Who could possibly copy Katharine Hepburn? She was, you know, she was extraordinary, and I wouldn't even try to begin to try to do that. Oddly enough, I've played several of the roles she played. Just my last time on stage was Suddenly Last Summer, which she did in film.
Yes.
And then when, of course, Ken Howard and I did Adam's Rib, that was taken from the Tracy Hepburn movie, and then Philadelphia Story. I think there was one other along the way, which Holiday we did on stage.
Wow.
So, you know, I just always sort of hope people won't really rivet on those other performances, because I always felt they certainly would pale in comparison. It's just that they're beautiful, beautifully written roles and great challenges. So that's sort of how I tried to come at it, you know.
And that's great, because I think you did a very good job. I was curious, though, did the role in the Philadelphia Story particularly resonate with you, being from Philadelphia and sort of being on that whole main line in Philadelphia?
Yeah, and funnily enough, you know, we did it so many years ago. I always think in terms of my children when their ages, how old. I think it's at least, it's got to be 25 years ago that we did it. And the woman who it was based on, it was from the main line. I believe she's now gone, but she was there opening night, and a couple of the other characters that Mr. Barry and as well his wife came to see that one, and the family, and also they came up to Williamstown, Massachusetts, where I went almost every year when the kids were little, at the Williamstown Theater Festival.
Yes.
She came to see that too, so that was kind of wonderful to have. You know, to have the actual family and the woman it was based on there.
Sure, sure. Before we get to my next question, a big shout out to Kevin Mosley. Kevin is the winner of our Red Brick Pizza Family Pack. Congratulations for calling in and winning that. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, that's cool. Look at that, Kevin. You got congratulations from Blythe Danner. Pretty darn cool. Pretty darn cool. Let me just throw a couple of names at you from either roles that you've been in or different acting situations that you've been in throughout your career. And I'd like your top of mind reaction to these folks. And
sure.
The first one is you were in The Prince of of Tides, that was directed by Barbra Streisand, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what was Barbra like?
I adore Barbra, and I'm not just being, you know, politically correct. I think she's just an extraordinary woman. I've now acted with her and been directed by her, and I think there's something great about an actor directing, because they really understand all your vulnerabilities and your fears and your strong points and your weaker points, and she was just heaven to work with as a director. And then, of course, we did Falkers together. But we did Meet the Falkers, and then we've just done Little Falkers, which will be out in December.
Oh, great. When do you know when that'll be out in December? Is it a Christmas release?
I think around the 22nd, I've been told.
Oh, beautiful.
So she is just a hoot, and she also has a birthday party for her dog every year.
Yes.
And I've gone to that, and that's been so much fun with my grandchildren, and it's just... She's really wonderful.
Oh, that is great. Well, a big shout-out. Barbra Streisand, as you know, has a place in Malibu just down the road from us here in Ventura County, so that's
yes.
Cool. Another favorite actor of mine, somebody that you've worked with, Kevin Kline. What is he like to work with?
Oh, Kevin. I had the most fun with Kevin on stage that I probably have ever had. He's just a giver. He's a clown. He's a wonderful, physically free, you know, all of the joints and limbs moving at once, and he's just so much fun. He's just a delight. I loved him from afar, and then getting the chance to work with him. We were in the most rained upon, and I think rained out production at Shakespeare in the Park in Central Park.
Hmm.
When we did Much Ado About Nothing. We came close to being electrocuted a few times with the microphones, but he was always there to sort of save me if we slipped across the stage.
Wow. Have you done any musicals with him? He's got a tremendous singing voice.
I know he does. No, I haven't, sadly, but I just love him.
All right. Ken Howard is another actor that you've worked with. What was Ken like? I remember him as the White Shadow.
Well, Kenny feels like my big brother, you know. I mean, I think I'm older than Kenny, but he always is. He's so big. And he actually, in the White Shadow, he was beaming Bruce. Bruce actually... created that show, my husband, Bruce Paltrow.
Mm-hmm.
He created the show, and Kenny really patterned his accent, his physicality on Bruce.
I didn't know that.
So that was that's a treat, and when I even watch reruns now, it sort of brings tears to my eyes, because he did it so well.
Well, and what made that such a groundbreaking show, do you think, in your opinion?
Well, they discussed things that hadn't been discussed before. In those days, you weren't even allowed to say, I think, anything that was, I don't think you could say pregnant, you know, it was very, it was still very, very strong,
censorship was still very strong?
Yes, the censorship, thank you. And so I remember Bruce coming home and shaking his head and saying, can you believe that we can't say the word breast, or we can't? So they somehow brought up teenage issues, like teenage pregnancy and drugs and things that were certainly coming, beginning to do tremendous, you know, harm on communities throughout the country, and it was just becoming much more prevalent, and you could, they discussed it openly, and I think that was they discussed it with humanity, compassion, humor, and then Bruce, from that, won the first diversity award from the Directors Guild for helping minorities and women in our business.
Well, good for him. It was absolutely groundbreaking in that regard. For those of you who haven't seen The White Shadow, you owe it to yourself to maybe go and get a DVD of that and check it out. About a high school basketball coach in the inner city dealing with issues that teenagers in the inner city do. So that was cool.
Yes, exactly. And I think it reruns once in a while on, you know, one of those stations, cable stations.
Oh, okay, good. Pick it up there, too. Now, one of the episodes that you did that absolutely broke my heart, made me fall in love with you, was the episode you did on MASH with Alan Alda. tell me, what's it like working with Mr. Alda, and how was that role for you?
Well, there again, we're going back to ancient history. That was my son, who's 34, was just born when I did that. And I love Alan. We did a film before that,
mm-hmm.
a little scene, a film that came and went, a little scene film. Can't even remember the name of it. But he is such a great guy. I mean, I think everyone in America feels that. I think he's one of the most, you know, people's... what is that award?
The People's Choice Awards?
People's Choice and favorite male actor. I think he won it probably more than anybody. He has a great humanity that just reaches across the camera and, you know, just invites you in. He's He's a wonderful man.
Yes, yes, he is. We're talking to Blythe Danner, everybody. Blythe, one of the movies that you're known for, at least in my mind you're known for, is The Great Santini, where you starred opposite of Robert Duvall as a military wife. Tell us, what was it like working with Robert Duvall?
Bobby's just a gem, you know. I love him because he's just so out there. He does not censor anything. You get the true raw grit, whatever he is feeling, which makes him such a great actor. Just, you know, he comes out with it. He's just great. He takes you along. Very much like when I'd worked with Chris Walken. They're sort of cut of the same cloth. They're very unusual in their own right, and yet they're very much company people. They're not so narcissistic that they're only there for themselves. They really pull you in and take you along in the most wonderful way.
Oh, now I'm going to have to hit the pause button there, because you said something that I would not have put these two people in the same category. Christopher Walken and Robert Duvall. Now, I love Christopher Walken. I love Robert Duvall, but I would never have put those two together. You're like a great chef mixing things. Why are they alike?
I think because they come from probably the same school of acting. Not that they studied. I don't actually know where either of them studied, but it's sort of the actor's studio kind of acting, where you really are, you delve so deeply into the emotion and to what you're spontaneously feeling, and to almost and also be lending yourself to improvisation in a very free, open way.
Mm.
They just both work with great freedom.
I see.
I can see where you'd think they would be very different actors, but they're not. They're not. Their way of working isn't that different.
I see. It's the methodology that they use.
Yeah.
Well, you have done just a number of films, and I'm going to come back to The Loving Molly in 1974 after the first child was born. Did you ever get a chance to meet Larry McMurtry, the author?
No, but I know that he didn't like me at all.
Well, why is that?
And I got a terrible review or an article from him I think he thought I wasn't sexy.
Well, he would be wrong, but
and
go on.
And I wasn't the Earth Mother, which is what I was telling Sidney Lumet, as he was very down on that performance. And, you know, you have to develop a good thick skin in this business. And my dad was more upset about it than I was. I remember, how could he say my daughter isn't sexy? Well, you know, Elsa, I'd just given birth, so I'm sure I wasn't terribly sexy.
Well, that's a typical father's reaction. I would stick up for my daughter anytime as well. So I completely relate to that. I do. Well, let me ask you, of all the films and all of the television shows and everything else, what is the role that sticks out in your mind, or the one that you'd want to be remembered for?
Oh, boy. Well, I'd say a lot of things that we did up in Williamstown on the stage, the Chekhovs, the Tennessee Williams. I think I was very happy with Blanche DuBois when I did that on stage with... Mm-hmm. I did it with Chris Walken originally, and with Sigourney Weaver, and then did it with Frances McDormand, and it was a great, great experience. I knew Tennessee a little bit, so that was even...
Oh, that made it even more real for you.
Richer, yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess also, doing the Pinter, I worked with Harold Pinter on Broadway, and Raul Julia, who was just so wonderful, Roy Scheider, we did Harold Pinter's Betrayal, which I love doing.
Great, great. Oh, we're talking to Blythe Danner, everybody. And as you can hear, I mean, she's just like a who's who of acting people that she's worked with. I'm going to come back to a name that you just threw out, the late Raul Julia. What was it like working with him?
Well, I think we still all feel heartbroken, those of us that knew and worked with him. He was quite a special spirit. He sang at the drop of a hat. He would just sing, sing, sing. And he and I used to sing for Harold Pinter and after the show, because he and his wife, wonderful, a great writer, and they were just loved when we would do these numbers from Jeanette MacDonald Nelson Eddy that my parents used to do. And we just had the most wonderful time with Raul. He was the sweetest man.
All right. And for those of the audience who might not know who Harold Pinter is, great playwright, what was he like? He always sort of struck me as being a little bit eccentric, was he?
Well, yes. I think actually Harold enjoyed giving the impression of being very dark and sort of sullen and mysterious and a little daunting, frightening. But in reality, he was incredibly brilliant. He loved women. He was very warm. There was a point when Sir Peter Hall, who was directing, had to go back to London, and Harold came and took over for a while, and he actually was more American in his approach to acting than I think than is usual. Maybe not anymore in London, but back then, the British school seemed to be more disciplined and
the stoic sort of
free form.
Yeah,
and Harold just sort of let it rip in rehearsal. He let us do it just to get the feeling in our underneath on our bones what was really going on, and then you had to kind of sit on the emotion.
Oh wow!
For the English kind of.
Real quick, we only have like 1 minute left, but I read somewhere that your granddaughter is thinking about going into acting. How do you think your parents would feel about that?
Well, maybe it's inevitable, the third generation coming along. She just loves to play act. We know we play all the time. She loves to play teacher. So I keep hoping that maybe she'll be a wonderful teacher. But she loves to play. I have no idea what she'll do. She's only six, but she's certainly got a flair for the dramatic in the best sense. She's a lot of fun.
That's great. We're talking to Blythe Danner, everybody. Blythe, the time has just flown by. Thank you so much for being our guest. We're greatly appreciative to you.
Oh, I enjoyed it so much, and have a wonderful show. I hear you're just taking off, and I know you'll have a great success.
Oh, thanks, Blythe. I appreciate that. We'll talk to you soon down the road.
Bye, Billy. Bye.
All right,
we're
going to end this show with a preview of tomorrow's show. We've got Mark Goulston talking about communication and Rachel Gordon on how to save money on everyday items. We end this show as we do everyone. Go out and be the change you want to see in the world. Remember, the leaders of the past didn't hold with today's convention, and neither will the leaders of tomorrow.